approaching the Christmas time. And in approaching the Christmas, I was studying the Word, and I saw something that we may need to think about. And because we may need to think about it, I'm going to, tonight, preach half a message. Okay? And we will get the second half on January 8th. Because we will not have evening services for the next two Sunday nights. And so we will look at some things. God loves each one of you. You know that. You've been told that. You've probably read that in the scripture a time or two. And does that make a difference in your life? Yes, it does. There are two other things that God does, that God manifests, that God shows us, that we need to understand. One is positive, and the other is positive. Tonight we're going to look at half an equation. I know when I used to take algebra, and even in differential calculus and differential equations, if you take just half a formula, you don't get anywhere. You can't accomplish anything. But tonight, I want us to look at the difference between grace and mercy. There's a tremendous difference. Grace and mercy. Tonight we'll look at grace. The first time that we see the word grace in Scripture, there's always a special times for every word we see, for every principle we read in the Word. We, for several weeks, studied the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis, involving how God created the earth, how He set things up. And we mentioned it when we got to chapter 6, but we're going to mention it again tonight. That's going to be our jumping off verse. Genesis 6, verse 8. And the scripture tells us in that verse, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Oh, God's grace was there so early. And what did that mean to Noah? It meant that Noah and his family would live. It meant that Noah and his family would be used of God to save the creation as God wanted it saved. God's grace. Folks, if you understood how much God's grace is getting poured into your lives, how God is reaching out to you in grace, we wouldn't be here tonight if it wasn't for God's grace. We wouldn't even be alive. I look at God's grace. I see God's grace in my life before I even knew Jesus Christ. And you did too, whether or not you recognized it. But God poured His grace into your life from the day you were born. The first time that we're told anything about God's grace is in reference to Noah. Tonight, I'd like us to take some time to examine some of the examples of God's grace in action that we find recorded in the Word. Now, we've all heard different definitions, and there is a definition that's out there that I do not like to hear. It is set up G-R-A-C-E, grace, God's resources at Christ's expense. That doesn't even come close, people. Doesn't even come close. The thing that we're attempting to do tonight is we're starting to compare God's grace with His mercy. Like I said, January 8th, we will look at mercy. Tonight, we look at grace. They're definitely not the same thing. And it's important. It is very important that we understand the difference. The first time that God's grace is mentioned in the scriptures is in Genesis regarding Noah, how he found grace in the sight of the Lord. What did Noah do to earn God's grace? Nothing. He believed God. Well, a lot of people have believed God. And part of the result of that is that they have the opportunity to see God's grace poured into their lives. Grace is a positive thing. It is for our good. And sometimes God's grace prevents us from being injured, becoming ill. How many of you have been around someone with COVID and survived? Every one of us. Every one of us. Folks, that's God's grace. That is God's grace. He's looking out for you. We're talking about when it says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That word Lord, you will see if you look at your Bible, is all capitalized. That is a name of God that the Jews would not even pronounce. Yahweh. Jehovah. Noah found grace in the eyes of God, Jehovah. We're talking about Jehovah, the name that is sacred to God's people. And I would like to define grace in a little different way rather than that acrostic that says God's resources at Christ's expense. I would like to define grace as God's love given to us, even when we don't deserve it. That's God's grace. And God wants to pour out His grace for every one of us. Especially, He wants to pour it out in your life. God's grace takes many forms depending upon the circumstance. It may consist of necessities or simply something unnecessary but greatly desired. Has God ever given you your desire? Did you deserve it at the time? Probably not. But God poured out His grace into your life. God is a giver. God gave mankind His grace. Genesis 47, 28 through 31 tells us, and Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the whole age of Jacob was 147 years, and the time drew nigh that Israel must die. And he called his son Joseph and said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt, but while I will lie with my fathers, and thou shalt carry me out of Egypt, and bury me in their burying place. And he said, that's Jacob, or Joseph, I will do as thou hast said. And he said, swear unto me, and he swear unto him, and Israel bowed himself upon his bed's head. Are you capable of pouring out grace? Can you bestow grace, unmerited love? Love that is not deserved? Yes, you can. God will enable you to do that. In fact, God wants you to do that. That's the whole purpose of our being here. Mankind is capable of also exercising grace. There are several different things which are a part of grace. The first, of course, is always love. Grace is an act of love. Grace is never exercised in anger or contempt. Grace is not deserved on the part of the recipient. In fact, grace is always undeserved by the recipient. Always. It is given in spite of who and what the recipient may be. Salvation is a part of God's grace. Did you deserve it? No. Did God give it? Yes. Grace. It's an example of grace. No one deserves to have their sins forgiven, yet God pours out his grace into each of our lives and forgives our sins. Even sins we commit over and over and over, God doesn't condemn you for them, because Jesus Christ was an evidence of God's grace that cannot be surpassed. It was the perfect evidence of God's grace for us. The day that each of us were saved, our sins were completely taken away. Has there been more sin since then? Yes. Do we still have fellowship with God if those sins are confessed? If those sins are repented of, we still have God's love in our life. That's God's grace. It's given to whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did you ever do to God to cause him to forgive your sin? Nothing. Nothing. We were saved by grace. There's nothing that anyone can do to earn God's or anyone else's grace. We have been speaking about what grace is, but we also need to look at what grace is not. Grace can never be an obligation. Let me say that again. Grace can never be an obligation. It can never be the fulfillment of a debt. Grace always has to be a free will offering, or it becomes an obligation. And that is one thing that grace can never be. When God bestows his grace, it's always without strings or condition. Psalm 84, 11 and 12 tells us this: For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Now, how much of your trust did it require for God to give you grace? None. God gives his grace to whomsoever he wills. But one thing is for sure, and that is that if a person is living for the Lord, God's grace will be evident in their lives. If you're living for the Lord, God's grace is going to be evident in your life, if you will look. That reminds me that there is another thing that grace is not. It's not only limited to the good man. God's grace is available to every man. There are a lot of people out there on the street, even tonight. It's going to be close to freezing in the morning. God's grace is going to get them through the night. And they're not necessarily good. They're not necessarily his children. But he is going to pour out his grace into their lives anyway. God can pour out his grace into the life of the biggest scoundrel you ever met. And he does that from time to time. Looking back, there was a time before we were saved where we were scoundrels too. And God's grace was poured into our lives, or we wouldn't be here tonight. You see, it's not attached. The grace of God is not attached to behavior. It's based on God's love for his creation. Now, through his grace, he draws even lost people to himself. You and I were drawn to him at some point, and it was because of God's grace. It wasn't because we were deserving. It wasn't because we were looking for him, but his grace caused him to look for us. We saw a lot of God's grace in the Old Testament. And now we look at the New Testament. The first example of how God's grace was prevalent will be found in Christ's life. Luke 2:40. We're looking at the birth of Jesus again. And there was a verse there, Luke 2:40. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. You realize how significant that is? God loved Jesus more than anyone else in the world. God poured his grace into the life of the child to keep him on the path for his life. The life of Jesus was full of what God had poured into it during his growing up years, so that when he got ready to start his ministry, he had all the elements that were necessary, and he was able to minister to all whose lives he was to touch. John 1:14 tells us, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father." And I love the end of this verse. How does it end? Full of grace and truth. We are here tonight by God's grace. If we see Christmas Day, it will be by God's grace. If we see New Year's, it will be by God's grace. There was just one other thing needed in order for Jesus to manifest himself as the Messiah. We find it recorded in Matthew 3, 13 through 17. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan, unto John, to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said to him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Do you realize that the moment you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit descended upon you as it descended upon Jesus when he was baptized? You are capable of doing many of the same things that Jesus did. You are capable of refraining from sin. You are capable of sharing the power of God, that would be the Holy Spirit, with those who are lost. There have been men like D.L. Moody who could simply walk into a room and people came under conviction, would drop to their knees or on their faces and call out to God. Each one in this room tonight can live that kind of a life in the power of the Holy Spirit. The problem is we live in these bodies of flesh and blood. These bodies have appetites, desires that are not according to God's will. Jesus Christ lived every moment of his life by the will of God, under the power of the Holy Spirit. Think of how special this Christmas could be for each one of us if we would yield ourselves to the power of God's Holy Spirit. Even for just one day, even 1 minute, could make such a difference. It could. But it's going to take God's grace to make it happen. Jesus had to be anointed with the power of God in the person of the Holy Spirit. This was so important that God gave us 3 accounts of it transpiring. I'd like us to look at each one. We just looked at Matthew 3. Let's look at Mark 1, 9 through 11. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in the Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Again, we have the incident recorded in Luke also, Luke 3, verses 21 and 22. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in the bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. What a way to live a life with the power of God upon him. Folks, you have the power of God in you. You do. It's there. It's there right now. It's not something you're going to have to go get. It's already in you. It's already there wanting to be channeled to the purpose that God has for your life. And there is a purpose. But you cannot fulfill it without the power of the Holy Spirit working through you. AB agreed that he would help me run a line from within the church out to the camper. And so I worked one night to run that line. And I ran it from the camper on in. Later that night, I needed to get up in the attic of the church building itself and walk through the attic and pick up the wire. People, I have done that dozens and dozens of times in my life. But you know what? I couldn't do it. You know why? Be nice. Yeah. That's right. Two reasons. I had a birthday on Friday. That was one reason. And the other reason was I was trying to do it in my strength, not the Holy Spirit's. Now, I knew a brother in Christ who might be willing to come help. And I called upon him. And he had to sweat to do this. Because he's having birthdays too, and one of these days he's going to know what I had to do. The reason I say this and the reason I share this with you, God has given you as well as myself the power to do anything he wants us to do. Anything that is according to his will. The problem is we don't always follow his will. We depend upon ourselves because we've done that all of our life. I love sweets. Some of you are tempting me with sweets. So I have to show moderation. But you and I have exercised our desires, our own plans, without considering what God's plans might be for the specific event or circumstance. What is God's plan for you? Christmas is coming up, and it's a special time, people. People, this is the one time when people are tender-hearted, willing to accept a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think that when the Holy Ghost descended in the form of a dove or in the appearance of a dove, that this was an important event in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ? I assure you it was. This was not an example of God's grace. Because it was not a gift from God, it was unmerited. It was the completing of Christ's person for the ministry of God to mankind. It was God completing himself. You and I will never understand that because we cannot comprehend the Trinity and how they all fit together. You see, Jesus would not have been complete without the Holy Spirit working through him. Jesus was on his path to the cross. He would complete the path, and he would experience the death that you and I should have experienced. He would experience that death for us, for you, for me. He would die there for the sins that you and I have committed. The sins that we continue to commit in not always listening to God, not always seeking his will, but exercising our own. He would die there for our sins. And the power of the Holy Spirit would restore him to life. On the third day. And then Jesus would spend 40 days proving that he was alive under the power of the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus would go to heaven. And for 10 days, the disciples, the followers of Jesus, would wander around on this earth like you and I sometimes do in life. And then God, in his grace, would pour out the Holy Spirit upon each one who has believed. And that was 2,000 years ago, and today he still pours out the same Holy Spirit. It's the same one, the very same one, into the heart of everyone who calls out to have their sins forgiven and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It has not changed, people. It's exactly the same. The power of God in each of our hearts. The power of God in each of our lives by the grace of God. John 1:16-17 tells us, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Jesus came, Jesus Christ. He is not only the personification of the Word, but he is also the personification of the grace of God. You have him in your life by grace. Let's look at a few more scriptures that mention the grace of God. Romans 5, 1 and 2. And I like this one. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Folks, you can stand in the grace of God this morning or this evening by faith. Do any of us think that we are Christians because we have the ability to stand in the place that God has directed us to stand? I don't. Only the foolish person thinks that. We can't stand on our own. We stand by faith in God's grace. Were it not for God's grace, we would still be living lives filled with unforgiven sin and on our way to an eternity in hell. Think about that. Were it not for the grace of God, we would be headed for hell. Remember that the just shall live by faith. What do we place our faith in? Yes, we place our faith in what Jesus did for us on Calvary. But why did he do that? Because God loved us enough to make a way of salvation that we did not deserve. God's grace. God planned it that way even before the world existed. Can you understand? I can't. How the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit, how they could plan before this first molecule was created that he would set aside a way for you and I to be saved. Because he knew, because he has omniscience, he knows everything. He knew that we would sin before you were conceived. God made a plan for you. He wanted to give you eternal life as a part of his grace. And he has done so. What a marvelous thing. We don't have to go to hell. We have eternal life. We are going to spend eternity with our Savior and our loved ones. Romans 5:17 says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the grace of God. Now, if you want to read about God's love, then read the book of John. It talks about the love that God had for us over and over. If you want to read about God's grace, what book do you read? You read the book of Romans. Romans speaks of God's grace over 20 times. Just to show you the place of grace in each of our lives, let's look at a few verses in chapter 12 of Romans. Romans 12, 3 through 8. For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members of another. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, there's that word again, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the propitiation of faith. Or ministry, let us wait upon our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. I hope tonight that you see that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are the result of God's grace. If you have a gift, it was given to you by grace. It was not acquired, it was not earned, it was not learned. It was given you by Jesus Christ. Keep in mind that God's grace is always unmerited, undeserved, and a free gift to a person who is always undeserving of the gift. I end our brief study of grace with these three verses, Ephesians 2, 5 through 7. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. God's grace is a promise to you of eternity in heaven. God's grace. Father, we don't even know where to start. How can you love us that much to pour out so much grace in each of our lives? We would ask that through your grace, we would minister for you in your behalf to those who you bring into our lives around us. Thank you, Father, for putting this ministry here on this corner. Continue to use this ministry to accomplish your will, to display your grace in the lives of those who come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, if there are those passing through this ministry, passing through our services, who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, may they come to know him as a result of your grace. And Father, we will praise you for all that you do, because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.